Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
He is craving a place where he can let that mask down. He is asking in his heart, do I measure up? Am I any good at what I do? And he's looking to you for the answer to that question. He desperately wants a place that he can let that guard down and be open with him. And it's almost like he's got this big old wall around his heart and he's kind of inching open those doors with the one person he's hoping will be safe with this tender heart that he's got hidden on the inside.
Wow, that is powerful insight from Shanti Feldhahn. And if you were listening to the last edition of the Homeward broadcast, you tuned in for part two of this continuing conversation Shanti and Dr. Jim Burns are about to have, talking about understanding the inner lives of men. From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, graduating difference maker since 1899 at apu.edu. Welcome to Homeward. I'm Roger Marsh. It's so good to have you along. About 10 years ago, Shanti Feldhahn released a book called For Women Only that helped women understand the inner lives of men. She and her husband Jeff then followed that up with For Men Only, and now they're back with two newly updated and expanded versions of For Women Only and For Men Only. Today we're focusing on ladies and helping you understand the inner lives of men. And without further ado, let's get into this conversation right now. Here's Jim. Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. A continuing conversation today with Shanti Feldhahn, Understanding the Inner Lives of Men. And she's written a great book called For Women Only, and I highly recommend it. She's a former Wall Street and Capitol Hill analyst with a master's degree in public policy from Harvard, and a great researcher, by the way, and a great speaker, and I consider her a friend. I'm just so happy to have her with us today. She's married to Jeff. They live in Atlanta. They have two kids. Welcome to, we said the Homeward studio, but we're actually in Jim's office today. That's
it's
a different
thing. It's very impressive, actually.
Yeah,
yes.
we don't usually do this, but
I feel honored.
It's kind of fun to be here in the office. Great to have you with us. You know, your books, For Women Only, For Men Only, and several other books, but the For Women Only, the For Men Only books, and again, this is an updated version, which is great. I again read it. I mean, they've sold 2 million copies.
Yeah.
That's almost unheard of in our industry. When you first started researching to kind of figure out what are guys like, did you have any idea that it would take off like this?
No. I mean, well, okay, let me take that back. I couldn't have predicted it.
Yeah.
But literally, I saw this explosive reaction, even in talking about it before the book was published. Like, I would be sitting at a Starbucks telling a girlfriend about some of these crazy things that I'm learning about how men think. And literally, I turned my head and there's like three women who had just gotten their coffees and stopped on their way out the door because they're leaning over and wanting to listen to what I'm saying. And I mean, when you see that happen often enough, you're like, whoa, okay, there's really something important here. This is stuff that is affecting us every day that most of our men wish we knew, but they don't know how to explain. And once we hear it, I think you were the one, Jim, who when the book first came out, you said something that I'm like, that is totally it. You said, Shanti, these are truths that are hidden in plain sight. And I said, that's a perfect way of describing it. We just don't know it. Once you hear it, it's like, oh, wow, eyes open. It changes how I impact, how I relate.
Well, you know, I became a fanatic with your message, partly because it's great research. Also because I speak on these subjects and I write on these subjects, but you found out things that you kind of go, oh, well, that makes sense. But we didn't know. We don't talk about this. So when I'm handing For Women Only, the book that I'm holding in my hands that we're going to talk about today, when I'm handing that book to somebody, as I did to my daughter not too long ago, who's getting married, and I said, this is really helpful. And, you know, I wish everybody had a chance to understand this before they get married, but unfortunately, that's not always the case. This is going to be, we're going to talk a little bit about romance. And you have a chapter, and it's, you know, some of your findings, but you called the chapter Chocolate Flowers, Bait Fishing, and I just laughed. And but you said, why the reluctant Romeo you know really does want romance. You know, I think a lot of women aren't really sure that their husbands, they're kind of goofy when it comes to romance. But you're saying, no, men really want to be romantic.
Yeah, very much so.
What's the answer?
You know, it's inside, you just have to realize, inside, they want it as much as you do. Mm-hmm. It means a lot to them.
Yeah.
And it's this getting together, just the two of us doing something. And see, here's the thing. We don't see them as romantic. There's actually two different reasons, completely different reasons. the first that we don't reason we don't see him that way is because it's that insecurity thing, that self-doubt that we talked about earlier. It's this private, like, do I know what I'm doing? And the guys described it as, like, I want to do this romantic stuff, but I kind of feel left-handed romantically. Like, you can write with your left hand if you have to, but you feel kind of clumsy and it's awkward. And that's not a good feeling for a guy. He feels inadequate, which is that really not good feeling. And so they kind of avoid it. And then what happens often is they try. And if we don't realize, we can say something, make a little joke, you know, oh, I didn't have enough oregano in the pasta that he tried to make the other night. And the way that a guy put it is he told me, he's like, look, I will try to make myself a fool for you. I will. I want romance too. But if you tease me about not quite getting the candlelight dinner right, it'll be 5 years before I try that again. And maybe not then. And so that's one reason, is they've seen what they think of as criticism. Like, they just weren't good enough when they tried. The other reason that we tend not to see men as romantic is that it's that bait fishing thing. Like, guys just want to go out and do stuff together. And to them, that's this romantic time together. And so I would hear these things like, you know, hey, honey, you want to go to Home Depot with me? You know, and the guy is proposing just this to him. What's a romantic outing?
Let's spend time together.
Let's spend time together. Sure. And, you know, if we don't realize that's what's happening, you know, I can look at my watch and say, well, you know, we've got friends coming over for dinner. I need to vacuum. And to him, it's kind of the same as if he would have said, do you want to have that candlelight dinner? And I said, well, you know, I really got to vacuum. We just miss it. We don't see it. I had one pastor's wife whose husband, they were in the middle of a big building campaign, and the building was taking a long time to go up, really big church. And she said that sometimes they'd be lying there in bed late at night and staring at the ceiling, and neither of them was asleep. And she'd hear, you still awake? Yeah. Do you want to go? Okay. And she said they'd put on coats. They lived right next door. They'd put on coats over their pajamas, and they'd go jump the wall into the construction site and just walk around holding hands and dreaming. And to him, this is like, this is romance. This is me and my wife. This is us. And I love that. And I just want to help women see it when it happens.
Do you think that women need to help men sometimes understand what is romantic to them, though? Don't you think a lot of times men really do want to be romantic? They want to do the stuff. But honestly, we want to please our wives. We don't know what to do.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, it's this horrible catch-22 for a guy. He wants to make his wife happy. Period. That's one of the other things I learned in the interim years before the revised version came out, is guys are powerfully motivated to make their wife happy. And they sort of feel like, if I can't make her happy, why bother? Why try? And we think, well, he kind of needs to know what I want to do. And he should, if he loves me, he'd really know. And it's like, wait a minute, you know, the guys are so willing to step out of their comfort zone, but don't make them read your mind too.
Right.
You know, they need to have you say, you know, I had one woman who said, my husband for a couple of years, he kept bringing me jewelry. And every anniversary or birthday, he would bring me. And finally I told him, I said, I see what you're trying to do. I love it. But I just have to tell you, I'm really not a jewelry person as much. You know what I really want? I want a plant for the garden. And every year, you know, now he said, okay. And so he goes out and he goes to the nurseries and he's looking for the perfect plant for this year. And she said, now we go out into the garden and I can remember that was that birthday. That was that Christmas. That was that anniversary. And she said, it's wonderful. It hits me where the jewelry didn't hit me. And he just needed to know.
You know, it's a great idea. You know, Kathy and I have a book called Closer, and it's mm-hmm. a devotional book. It's kind of devotional light. We challenge people to go 20 minutes a week, you know, in spiritual intimacy. And one of the chapters is on the non-negotiable date night. And so Kathy and I, in doing that, we brainstormed 20 dates. And Kathy forgot that we had brainstormed these dates. And she wants me to take more effort on our dates. And so I pulled out our book and I went, well, why don't we go? We live here in Southern California. Why don't we go kayaking? She goes, that is a great idea. She forgot that that's number three
handy,
on the list.
Handy right. That she forgot. That's
so
really handy.
I heard her saying a while back to somebody, Jim is really creative with dates, and he didn't
that's
used
awesome.
To be. Well, what's funny is they're her ideas, but she's forgotten them. Now, I've just said it on radio, and hopefully
she may not be listening today.
Okay. Your writing, so I'm going to tell her, no, it was a terrible interview. I don't want you to listen to Shanti because I don't want to hear the thing. But, you know, isn't that funny that I'm just doing what she said to do, and she wants me to take initiative.
It's a great example.
The interesting side is she wants me to take initiative, even to the point where a couple of weeks ago, we were going on our date night, and it's a really important thing to us. And I chose a restaurant, which is, it was a little more expensive than some. And Kathy put it down. She goes, I never liked that place. I said, Kathy, we've gone there like four or five times. She goes, I never liked that
I was
place.
Like, I wish you told me this before.
Right. But the interesting side to it was I still felt okay because I had tried.
Yeah.
And she didn't put me down.
Well, I mean, and that's what women want.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's the thing. Now here's the thing for the women listening to this is realize for you, you know that what matters most is the trying. For him, you don't realize that what matters most for him is what he's doing. Like, yeah. Is he doing a good job? Is he making you happy?
Yeah.
So this is what I tell women, you know what? It may not be perfect. I mean, but that big smile and the thank you for him, he will walk over hot coals for you because right. He just wants to make you happy.
Exactly. And that's a very important key point. We're barely touching the surface of what I consider is a groundbreaking book. It's called For Women Only. This is the revised and updated edition. Shanti Feldhahn. Roger's going to tell you about it right now. You can learn more about who Shanti is and what she's doing at shanti.com. When we come back, we're going to talk about a chapter called Sex Changes Everything.
It's a good conversation to have, especially if you're in a marriage relationship and as a wife, you're trying to figure out what makes your husband tick. And as your husband, you really want to understand your wife too. And this is so key because Shanti Feldhahn and her husband, Jeff, did this research for Women Only. It came out in 2004, sold 1 million copies. Now they've done new research and they've got a new version of For Women Only that's just now out. It just came out even a couple weeks ago. And a new version of For Men Only as well. Highly recommend these books for couples that guys read the For Women Only book and women read For Men Only and then kind of trade off and say, okay, they got it right. Now here's how we can have a conversation about this. If you want to learn more information about Shanti's ministry, go to homeward.com, hit the radio broadcast section. You'll see the radio listing has Shanti Feldhahn listed as our guest today. Click on that name and follow the prompts there. More from Jim and Shanti in just a moment.
I'm Jim Burns from Homeward with a real-life answer to the question of how you can help your spouse feel appreciated in your marriage. You can start by trying to make gratitude a daily habit. Well, it will definitely make your spouse wonder what you're up to. Go out of your way to show your spouse how much you appreciate them. It's the golden rule right out of the Bible. Treat others the way you want to be treated. Well, if your spouse feels appreciated, honored, respected, and loved, those feelings will most likely be returned to you big time. But you just don't do it for what you get out of it. Do it because it's the right thing to do. Developing an attitude of gratitude toward your spouse will put you well on the way to creating that intimate marriage you've always desired. For a free copy of my new tip sheet called Creating an Intimate Marriage, go to homeward.com. I'm Jim Burns of Homeward with Real Life Answers.
Welcome back, Jim Burns. Great conversation today. Shanti Feldhahn, feeling like we're just getting started. The book is called For Women Only. It's a great book. I highly recommend it. Shanti is a popular speaker, a great author, former Wall Street and capital analyst with a master's degree in public policy from Harvard. Boy, we could have a conversation about that. Written some great books, makes her home in Atlanta. She's here in the, well, we call it the Azusa Pacific Studios, from the studios of, the broadcast will come from the studios, but today we're sitting in my office. So you're sitting on my couch there, Roger. There you are, feeling pretty comfortable there, along with Ben Camp, who's our sound engineer. Shanti Feldhahn. Shanti, you had a chapter, and I thought it was really tastefully done, very important. It's called Sex Changes Everything. And you went on to say why sex unlocks a man's emotions. I don't think women have gotten that
nope.
or figured it out.
Nope.
So what did you learn?
I learned we have a major misunderstanding about what physical intimacy means to our men. We think of physical intimacy in our marriage as being primarily a physical need for him. That's sort of the category you put it in. As a woman, it's a physical need. It's a physical urge. You know, you mentioned I have two young kids and sorry, speaking for a lot of women listening to this, when you've been pulled on by little hands all day, sleep seems like a physical need too. And I realized though, when I started asking the guys, you know, what's the importance of this? What does this mean to you? You know, because they get so, it's such, clearly such a big deal. And I'm trying to figure out what's behind that. What I heard from the men had nothing to do with the physical, nothing. what I kept hearing from them was this enormous emotional need that they couldn't get met any other way. And I'll tell the women, here's what the need is. It's the need that every man has to feel that his wife desires him and that she wants him. And if a guy feels that his wife desires him, it gives him this sense of confidence and this sense of well-being in all of the other areas of his life. And conversely, by the way, if he doesn't feel desired, if he feels like it's a little too easy for her to say, you know what, I'm just so tired, it gives him almost this feeling like, I must be so undesirable. I can't even compete with her pillow. Yeah, right, exactly. Right.
When she doesn't mean that, she means, hey, look at the kids have been grabbing at me and I'm really tired and, you know, how about tomorrow?
Yeah. And the thing is, we don't realize that what that does is it makes him feel, being undesirable makes him feel like a lack of confidence, a lack of well-being in all the other areas.
Yeah. You know, at Homeward, one of the things that we talk a lot about, because I write on it a lot, is sexuality. And we often say that, you know, sometimes Christians have some really weird tapes in their head. You know, you're married. God created your sexuality. God created physical intimacy. He obviously could have done it a different way. But no, he created it to be pleasurable and draw close and the emotional connection. But doesn't it seem that for a lot of times, you use the word that, you know, that men want to feel desirable. Sometimes the woman initiates a physical, you know, experience. That's for men, that's one of like the top needs they say.
Well, can I just tell you the funniest thing?
Yeah.
Guys kept talking about that 1970s song Behind Closed Doors, where the guy says, I want the girl next door in the living room and the wild cat in the bedroom.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, good luck, buddy, you know. But finally, when I would ask them, okay, what do you kind of mean by that? That's what they said.
Right.
That she just makes the first move once in a while.
Right.
You know, I'm like, that's a wild cat. Who knew? You know?
Yeah. Right. It's not exactly like a wild cat in terms of what the song was probably about. But the fact is that a lot of times, don't women think, because they were programmed when they were younger, you know, that they shouldn't think this or do this, that once they're married, you know, it is okay to express physical intimacy and actually express your love and your excitement at times.
Oh, yeah. Well, and the thing is, women don't realize just what a huge, again, emotional need that is for a guy to see that his wife is happy in that way. Like, again, he'd walk over hot coals for her and knowing, wow, you know, knowing that I made her happy in this way, knowing not just that she desires me, but that she's pleased. The guys, it was almost like they were stumbling over themselves, trying to articulate just what a big deal that was to them emotionally.
Now, what advice do you give to a woman? We have more women listeners on Homeward than men sometimes. What advice do you give to a woman who has... It's been a hard day. I mean, she obviously is tired.
Yeah.
This is not the night. And I'm sorry,
right,
honey.
Yeah.
How do you put your husband in place without, you know, ripping apart his ego?
I should be asking you that, Jim. I mean, you're the guy. I mean, like this, if we'd be having one of my interviews, I'd be saying, how does she do this, Jim? You know, what's the right way? I mean, the guy's told me the thing that there's no way around the fact that he's going to feel a bit rejected, because it's, the guys described it as very vulnerable, like this really vulnerable feeling when they approach their wife in that way. It's almost like putting themselves out and saying, am I desirable?
Yeah.
And then she has the answer. It's a yes or no answer. And so the way that some men described it was, you know what, it's okay if it's a little bit better if she'll, instead of saying, you know what, I'm just so tired, if she'll say, honey, you know how much I want to be with you, but my brain is just going to turn off, but can we make a date for tomorrow?
That's exactly what I would say. I think that's
really?
The,
okay, good.
Honestly, that's exactly what I would say in terms of saying, hey, you know, not tonight, however.
Yeah.
And women have to understand that men do feel rejected sometimes when they're not being rejected. They just feel that way. Isn't that interesting? You know, the men, it goes back to what we talked about at the beginning, how inadequate sometimes men feel.
Insecure.
You said that many men feel like the imposter at home due to a lack of appreciation. Unpack that statement.
You know, it's interesting. The guys describe this kind of self-doubt that they have running under the surface. They described it sometimes like the imposter complex. Like, someone's going to find out that I have no idea what I'm doing as a dad. No idea what I'm doing as a husband. Like, I'm just trying to make it up. And so they're looking for these signals. And the way they put it is like, I have the same feeling at work, but at least at work, I've got some idea whether I'm doing a good job. Yeah. You know, like you got some measuring stick of whether you're getting promotions or whatever. With a wife, the only measuring stick that I have is her happiness, is whether I'm able to make her happy.
Wow.
And so this feeling that I can't make her happy, it triggers this inadequacy even more and this imposter complex. I really don't know what I'm doing. And a guy who feels that way, what I found statistically in the surveys that we did is there's two main reactions. He'll get angry or he'll withdraw and he'll become passive and he'll back off, or both actually. And you get angry at the moment and then back off. And I was just speaking at a big a mom's conference just a couple days ago. And I was talking to this, you know, group of 600 women in this big auditorium, close the door, talk about it. Guys want to be a great dad, for example. But when we say, okay, honey, you have to do this and this and this and this and this while I'm gone. And what? You let them stay up until 10 o'clock. And what? Right. You know, it basically triggers this, I don't know what I'm doing. Better to just back off, let her do her thing because she doesn't, I can't get it right. And we don't realize that that's what we're sending. And we want him to be an involved dad. We just don't realize how much of it is up to us of whether he is an involved dad.
No, exactly. I remember when Kathy and I first got married, her dad could fix anything, like tear a washing machine apart and do cars and things
like that.
And I would be with her dad when we were dating, and I didn't know the difference between a, and I'm exaggerating only a slight bit, between a flathead screwdriver and a Phillips screwdriver. And I just didn't know any of that, and I still don't. And I just felt so inadequate because Kathy would say, the washing machine would break, and she'd say, well, you know what? You know, we can maybe fix it. And I'd go, I wouldn't even know where you start.
Yeah, like where do you unscrew the panel?
And finally, one day she said to me, you know what? I'm putting you in my, you know, my dad could do that.
Oh,
and
wow.
You know what, Jim? You don't need to be. You don't need to do that. You're so good at so many things that my dad wasn't, or whatever. And gosh, I almost got teary-eyed. Yeah. I've been married to her for 38 years. She probably said it in our first year. But I just, all of a sudden, I went, oh, I don't have to fix the washing machine.
Yeah.
Wow.
And she believes in you and says you're a good dad and a good husband.
Right.
For all these other things that you do, it, you know?
You know, exactly. And I think that's, you know, some of the research that you're saying. You had and we don't have much time left, but you had one of the men you surveyed said the male ego is the most fragile thing on the planet. And really, in some ways, that's what, there's been a theme of our conversation that sometimes I don't know that what you're saying is that women don't understand that men are much more fragile than they come across, because men don't do that. We don't share our being fragile. Women, you know, sometimes at a women's conference, you know, I've spoke at a women's conference. I said, oh my gosh, there is so much estrogen in this room. But, you know, there's tears and there's emotion and there's connection. I mean, it's phenomenal.
Yeah.
You know, the guys, you know, I spoke at Promise Keepers for years. You know, at a guy's thing, we still have our masks on a little bit, but yet we're fragile little boys.
And that is what every woman needs to know, is that he is craving a place where he can let that mask down.
Yeah.
He is asking in his heart, this, do I measure up? That's, if the heart cry of a woman is, am I lovable? The heart cry of a man is, do I measure up? Am I any good at what I do? And he's looking to you for the answer to that question. And he desperately wants a place that he can let that guard down and be open with him. And it's almost like, you know, we were talking about the castle. It's almost like it's the reverse, like the castle doors are around his heart. You know, he's got this big old wall around his heart, and he's kind of inching open those doors with the one person he's hoping will be safe with this tender heart that he's got hidden on the inside. And when we realize that he's inching open his doors, that's when we speak sweetly, and that's when we're affirming, and that's when we say, honey, you are such a great dad. I was just talking to my husband this morning. He was up for hours last night helping our son while I'm away on this trip, helping our son with his homework, and he's struggling with these things, and he just stuck with it, and he helped him. And I said, honey, thank you so much for spending, you are such a great dad. And literally, it was about 10 seconds before he could speak. Because he was tearing up a little bit. He said, thank you for saying that. It's just, it is so powerful for men to know that that's what their wife thinks.
It's a great, great comment. Thank you for being with us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Shanti Feldhahn. Roger.
So grateful to have Shanti in studio with us as she was traveling, spending a lot of time on the road, and happened to be cruising through Southern California. We were privileged enough to have her stop by the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family. Again, Shanti.com, Shaunti.com is where you can find out about Shanti Feldhahn's writings and speaking. Also, the books that we're recommending today, For Women Only, Understanding the Inner Lives of Men. Also, For Men Only, A Man's Guide to Helping Figure Out the Woman in Your Life. There are new versions of them that have just come out with brand new research, a whole new chapter in For Women Only, helping women understand the thought process a man goes through when he's thinking about stuff, and it really helps you understand why when guys and girls get into conflict, a woman can just be right there verbally and a guy has to sit there and process a little bit. You can find information on all those books at shanti.com and get that going through our website at homeword.com. Now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.